Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
You know, if I was in the stadium while I was having all this banter and bacchanalia, I would be a best fan, you know. You understand what I'm saying? I'll be a best fan. Hey, guys, good evening. Just about 6 minutes after six. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. This is where you speak your mind and you are on Offside. Freak, where's Adrian? He needs to bring that whistle. He needs to bring it.
He'll have it. Don't worry. He's coming. He's coming.
So, Andrew, that means when he is not here at the time, you have to be the... Yeah, you have to be that, right? Go ahead. Let me hear you now. I think I was in hearing you just now.
Super sub. That's
yes. Yes. So, you should have the whistle ready.
Yes, yes.
All right. Hey, Trinidad Tobago, good evening. You're on Offside and it's Carrie V, Terry Fennick, Andre Suklal, and soon Adrian is going to be here, right? And don't forget, you can catch us streaming live on our Instagram page, Freedom 106.5 FM, and of course on Facebook. So Terry,
yeah,
what an exciting week we had.
We've had some fantastic football all over the weekend. Brilliant games. Obviously, the big game was the Manchester City Arsenal game. Oh my God, my own team, Tottenham, got battered.
Oh boy.
Lost 4-3 at Anfield against Liverpool. Big game today, Leicester City 2, Everton 2. That's the bottom of the table, relegation fight going on right there. But it just doesn't get any easier. This Premier League, more than any other league in the world, you cannot put your name on anything because it's so difficult, so tough out there. These teams are going for the throat. They can't fall out of the Premier League. And, you know, they double their money if they get into the top four.
Yeah.
Into the top four, into the Champions League positions. So, Carrie, it's just been unbelievable. It's been fantastic. I've loved every minute of it. And the games.
And I can imagine.
Andrea, they've been brilliant.
I'm already getting a message already. Someone sent a message on WhatsApp. And guys, don't forget, you can continue sending me your messages on 306-1065. You can even call us at 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's play this voice note and see what this person says.
Good evening, Gary V, Terry.
How you doing?
Andre.
Yes, yes, good evening.
I want to know if Arsenal going backwards, Man City top of the Premier League, sitting comfortably up there.
Well, I think it's something that we've looked at it over the last weeks, probably last month.
Well, they whipped Arsenal 4-1 in the week.
He has to remind us about that.
Yesterday, they would have had a good game there, coming away with a 2-1 victory. So it seems as though Arsenal is crumbling.
What is wrong with Kadeem? What is wrong with him? What is wrong with him? Why is he focusing on my team? We just had like an off day.
Yes, yes.
Right? No?
Off days, maybe.
No.
So, Kerry, I actually called the result before the game.
Yep.
Andrew will bear me out with that. I put it out on Facebook, 4-1. And that was me looking at these two teams, and I put out in the same post, this could be men against boys, and I think that's exactly how the game ran out. This was a very powerful, strong, experienced Manchester City side that just had too much confidence in their player, their style of football, their everything, on top of this Arsenal side that... Yes, they're youthful. They've had a great season so far. But they're crumbling.
Yep.
Right at the end now, they're crumbling. And it's disappointing to see that because I think Arteta's done a wonderful job over the course of the season. My God, they've led. They've been at the top for so long now and held teams like Man City off. But it seems like the youngsters have just cracked at the end.
Yeah, went off the boil because... you know, over the weeks, we've been talking about this, you know, the inevitable downfall of Arsenal.
You know why? Because I'll wash your mouth on my team.
Come on, Carrie.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hold the line.
But you know, still, there's still a mathematical chance. I'm going to give you the silver lining then.
Okay, please.
I mean, to me, once there's always a mathematical chance.
Yeah.
Never give up. But, you know, I think Terry and I agree. With the way that juggernaut that's Manchester City, how they're playing, they're hitting form at the right time. Mm. The entire squad just seems to be clicking like they should. It happens. You see it in football.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the opposite is happening with Arsenal. You know, they just hit that dip at the worst possible time.
So, Andrew, that they've drawn their last three games and got beat against Manchester City. They've got a huge game coming up tomorrow night at home to Chelsea, who themselves need to get, you know, back on track.
Yeah.
How do you see that going?
Chelsea has been such a chaotic team this season. I don't think it's going to be any much better with Frank and those guys there. You know, the changes with the coaches. I think Arsenal could probably try to take advantage of Chelsea's mayhem.
I believe in them. They can do that.
I think so. I think maybe a couple of weeks ago I would have said a straight up draw because Chelsea can't seem to score goals to save their lives. But I think Arsenal need to sit down and take hope. Okay, listen, guys, we have a mathematical chance. And we could take it to Chelsea and fight at the end of the season. But I think it'll end up being like a 1-1 draw in the end. Well, Arsenal is playing.
I think it could be that way as well, Andre. I'll look at this Arsenal side. They're out of confidence. Mm-hmm. My God, the turning curve for me was their 3-3 draw against bottom of the table Southampton.
Yep.
Who now looks so, Southampton looks so far adrift now, they look like they will be relegated.
Yeah.
But they went to the top of the table, Arsenal, and got an unbelievable, I mean, it was a great game on the, you know, for the them supporters out there, it was a wonderful game to watch, very entertaining, but you're always, as a professional, asking yourself, my God, what's gone wrong at Arsenal over the last few weeks for them to continually draw games, and not just draw. They start the games off fine. Yep. They do brilliant. They get 2-0 in front and still end up drawing the games.
Yep.
This business end of the season is where there are some games that you just need to cut off. Some games that you need to see the clock out, see the time out, get your result, get your 3 points on the scoreboard. Doesn't matter how it comes, just keep it tight. But they've tried to overplay for me, Andrea. They've tried to overdo it. And they've been sucker punched by teams that have just gone very physical and direct against them.
Yeah, they probably need to resurrect the guys like Saul Campbell and Adams and those guys.
Yeah.
Where sometimes you need that spine, you know, to grind out those ugly wins. Because yes, they play free-flowing, beautiful football.
Yeah.
People love that since the Invincible days.
Correct. Mm.
And sometimes it's to their detriment.
Yeah.
You know, they just keep playing. And sometimes they just need to lock things up. Keep things tight at the back.
Correct.
Even if it means it's a little bit ugly.
See the game out. Game management.
Yep. That's so what champion teams do.
I'm pleased to see Adrian Romain's here. He's in the building there. Fantastic.
Yeah. He just moonwalked into the studio like if he's a, you know.
He's a superstar.
You know, let me tell you what this man do me today. You know, he called on the radio station today while I had my EPL, my segment, my Premier League segment. And you know, this man bashed my Arsenal team, boy. This Adrian. I say, see, when you come in the show this evening, it's me and you. What's going on? How you doing? How you doing, Adrian? What's up? Right.
I'm good. Good afternoon, all our listeners. What a weekend, Terry. What a weekend,
Andre. Fantastic, okay?
Wow. Arsenal is going backwards, isn't true?
Yeah.
They are going backwards.
Yeah.
And I think that we predicted it.
Yeah.
We are seeing.
Well, once again. I can see Carrie's fuming out.
Yeah.
The Arsenal fan in us coming out. Come on, Carrie.
You know,
up.
I didn't know she was an Arsenal fan. Easy. That's the silent pain.
Listen. You know, my team just had a rough day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they are going to come out from under the rubbles and win this Premier League, okay? I'm speaking it into existence.
Mm-hmm. Mathematically speaking, they have a chance.
They have a chance.
So,
unlike Chelsea and Hotspurs and
Listen, I love your passion, Kerry, but that's just not happening, darling. Come on, get serious.
So, Adrian, how you thought the game went? What's your thoughts?
I think that the football last weekend, from last week Tuesday to this weekend, it was really and truly eye-opening to see the type of quality that is there in the Premiership.
Mm.
And this is why the Premiership, and no offense to Andre, the Premiership is the best league in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that players that has played in that Premiership, and if you basically sit next to them at times, you need to have a bit of respect for them, because you see grown some amazing tactical changes by these coaches.
And, correct.
And even with them, how they rotated their squads.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And watching on Pep Guardiola last week with his high press game against Arsenal, it wasn't one that Arteta expected.
Mm. Yes.
And for me, it's really and truly exciting times now with Man City. Two games in hand.
Yep.
Yeah. And Arsenal's basically going backwards, as Kadeem said.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really and truly a place where we have to just be excited till the final whistle of the last day.
I have a voice to hear. Let's play it.
It should be an easy game for Arsenal tomorrow against Chelsea. Chelsea is sitting at 12th position, so I expect Arsenal should be able to get a win. Arsenal, in terms of playing Chelsea, Arsenal would have won 81 games, Chelsea 66, and in terms of draws, they would have had 59. So I expect Arsenal to come away with a victory tomorrow.
Mm.
That's a big call, for me. I mean, I look at this game. Chelsea have got to get back on track as well. Frank Lampard's had an absolute nightmare start again, and he's seeing the season out with Chelsea. They need to get something out of the game for him. But I'm just looking at this Arsenal squad. They look like their confidence is mashed, and I think from a long way back, William Saliba, I think they've missed him, centre-back, who's been brilliant for them throughout the season. And he stood up to all the physicality, that's what you need in a centre-back. You've not only got to be able to play football, you've also got to be able to stand up to the top Van Aalens and that sort of quality and strength, speed and direct football against you. Arsenal have just come up short there. And granted, Xhaka hasn't been as good. Thomas Partey hasn't been as good as they've been all season, because it's now come, Adrian, to the business end of the season, where everybody puts everything on the line, and everything counts.
Yep. You know, the thing with me is that I think at Arsenal, going back to Arsenal now, we kept talking about the inevitable collapse.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. But the thing is, they have to, we said this the last time I was here, you know, I mean, even though we're picking on Arsenal, I don't think they could come back, if I'm being really honest. But if they do, it will be a massive test of character.
You know what is going to happen? You know, they're going to give you a surprise of your life. Yes.
Well, I mean, for a neutral outfit.
Bye, Kathy. Carrie V, come
yes,
on, darling.
I'm just saying. What did you say?
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Well, y'all are going to be surprised. Okay, right.
We'll see.
I'm just recapping on the voice note. I think that Terry is right.
Yeah.
I really expect an upset Chelsea to upset Arsenal.
Mm.
Yeah. I think this is the time where Frank Lampard must win one game at least.
Regarding Chelsea, I haven't heard much about Chelsea in the league.
Yeah,
I haven't heard much. But what do you think would cause something like that? Because, I mean, Chelsea used to be as far as I know, used to be like a real big team.
Yes.
But now you're not hearing much about them. What do you think caused that
downfall? Well, you see, what's happened here, Carrie, behind the scenes, obviously the football club itself was sold.
Mm.
So there's new ownership coming through the doors. Inevitably, when you've got new ownership, they want their own management team running the football team. So they got rid of the then Thomas Tuchel, who I think was doing a decent job for the club.
Mm.
They brought in Frank Lampard, who I just thought Frank, and he was having a stinker, I think it was over and above him.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at how the Premier League operates now, if you get rid of your manager, you've got to have the next guy ready to step right in. And that hasn't happened. And that's not just Chelsea FC, that's Tottenham Hotspur, they've done the same. They got rid of Antonio Conte and didn't have anybody to step in. And Tottenham have crashed as well.
Yeah.
Now, these players, my God, they're on a fortune. These guys are earning so much money today playing in the Premier League.
Mm.
And they don't pay attention unless you've got a real kick-ass coach that's on your case every minute of the day and not allowing you, not even when they go home. The managers today come and knock on your front door.
What?
They want to come and sit in your front room, watch a bit of TV with you, find out what you... family's all about and all that. They do not give you an inch because everything's reliant upon them. Recognise again, Kerry, that it's not the players that get fired, it's the coach. The manager. So not easy. But listen, I'm just looking here at this Manchester City squad. And when you've got top class players like Kevin De Bruyne and Gundogan, Jack Grealish, my God, Alvarez has done a wonderful job since he's come in. This is too good a squad of players, too experienced to drop it. Edison in goal, first class goalkeeper. Pep Guardiola absolutely knows everything about the game, arguably the best coach ever, because he's changed the way football has been played. And this is going back to his time at Barcelona, where everybody at that time was concentrating on how defensively strong they could be. Pep Guardiola kept the ball. He starved you of the football. And when it came to running down the clock, getting there 1-0 up front, and then you couldn't get the ball back off them, but they would some people would say it's boring football, but it's effective because he's won everywhere he's been.
Grinds the opposition down. I mean,
grinds them down.
I know a lot of people don't like, I guess that people don't like Barcelona. I mean, I'm not a Barcelona fan, but I appreciate the style of football that he did. And I appreciate that he always makes little tweaks to his game, no matter where he goes. So even though the fundamentals are the same, you know, he goes to Germany, makes little tweaks, messes with the wingers a little bit.
Well, Andre, look at his tweak at Manchester City. He was bringing in Van Aert. So they've actually changed the way they playing at the moment. They're more direct as a unit. Manchester City, most of their goals come from 15 to 20 passes and then a side foot in the six-yard box into the empty net. Not anymore, because they've got this big brute of a centre-forward, this big Viking up front, that you put that ball in the box and he's going to mash everybody up to get there and score his goal. He's been brilliant. But Man City have had to change their style to incorporate him in the team mechanism.
And I think that Pep, with his experience in the Premiership for the last 5 years, he has assessed what is missing at Premiership level. If you look at Harry Kane, he's 6'5" and he has scored, he has won the Golden Boot, although Tottenham really and truly haven't won any titles. He decided, okay, well, let me go for a big lump up front. And that's exactly what's happening with his team. The team's mechanism has transformed, and you have seen that they have played around Haaland, but as well they have played without him. And that's what's important. I remember the first time that Manchester City won under Pep, we could remember when Aguero against QPR, and Aguero was someone that was always really and truly instrumental in their success. And now you're seeing Haaland. So they have strikers that are scoring 20 plus goals, and honestly they are defensively strong as well.
So Adrian, let me throw something at you which I'm looking at, and I think it's a big possibility now. Manchester City for the Premier League title. Manchester City, possibly Champions League winners. They've got Real Madrid, which is a huge game for them, but I think they're well capable of winning that. They've got their cross the City rivals in Manchester, United in the FA Cup final. Could Pep Guardiola and Manchester City clean sweep?
Yeah, Terry, I think there is a huge possibility that he can do it. You are looking at the same stats I looked at last week. If you watch at Pep's team, every single player has played more than 10 games. Except Carson, which is the substitute goalkeeper. Every single player. He has managed a squad in a way where he wants to become a champion in every single league. And that shows a lot for me. He's basically rotated his squad. And for me, honestly, I cannot see how he cannot get over the line with these champions. Champions League, Premiership. It is a high. It will be very out of this world that he can't get over the line.
Adrian, they've gone 16 games. 16 wins. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's insane.
Even in the Premier League, look what we watched last week. We watched top of the table Arsenal play against bottom of the table Southampton. And it, for the neutral fan, it was a wonderful game of football that was fantastic. It was so exciting, end to end, six goals in the game. That's not going to happen with Man City. If Man City play a bottom of the table team, they're going to win.
Yeah.
They're going to win comfortable, because they will kill you with their passing. But then when it needs to get in the box to somebody that can put it away, Van Aanholt has been outstanding. I think he's a great centre forward. Doesn't not interested in the builder player. Lets it, the rest of the team, his teammates, get on with that. But when it's in and around the box, you see his last minute moves. That's obviously training ground stuff with Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
They look brilliant. Brilliant.
Someone said here is a repeat of 2019. What went on in 2019?
It could be a repeat. I guess that's when...
For those of us who don't know what went on in 2019.
I'm not sure what he means or she means specifically, but Man City was also in top form back then.
Correct.
And I believe in the Champions League, they kind of fell. They got to the final, right? Yep. Am I mistaken? I could be wrong. Mm. So, you know, I think what they are trying to say is, you know, maybe...
They got beat in the final against Chelsea, remember?
Right, right. So, you know, they've been always, you know, Man City has always been strong in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the point maybe they're trying to make, you know, we've heard this before. What's going to be different this time?
Kerry, I think the big thing here is Manchester City, the last twice, maybe even three times they've been knocked out of the Champions League, it's been against another Premier League club.
Yep.
So now that the other Premier League clubs are out there, listen, they've just mashed up. The best team in Germany.
Right.
They've got Real Madrid. Can't underestimate Ancelotti. But I think Pep's going for the throat. He's absolutely ruthless to win everything this season, and I think he could do it.
Yeah. Well, guys, I know we have to take a break in about 2 minutes, and I know we have a jam-packed program this evening.
Yeah.
But would you care to, you know, let our listeners know what to expect within the next hour?
So within the next hour... Obviously, touching on Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup Final's a big one coming with the Manchester Derby. Manchester United play City in the FA Cup Final. Big game. And then, of course, we're going into local football where there's a few home truths got to come out.
Yeah. Now you're smiling with that, boy, you generally.
That's me.
All right, guys, it's just about 28 minutes after 6. Don't forget you can call us. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. And, of course, you can send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Somebody say, Carrie V and the team of gentlemen. I like Arsenal too. However, Carrie, I feel Manchester United is going to take this one. Hey, who is it? You know what? I'll fix this person. All right, guys, we're going to take a really quick break. It's just about 29 minutes after 6. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, and you are on Offside. Squeak. Hey, where's the whistle, Adrian?
Let's go.
Where is it? Bring the whistle. Bring the whistle. That's part of it. And this is Offside.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM. This is where you speak your mind. Carrie V and the guys in the house, Terry Fennick, Adrian Romain, and Andre Sukla. Welcome back, guys.
How are you, Carrie? How are you doing?
We good, we good. So we already got a message. Someone says, Pep overthought the game against Chelsea in that UCL final. That is why they lost.
Overthought as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a difficult call because this is a guy that... He irons out every position, every movement. When you're looking at a Manchester City team and you're looking at a player spraying a pass from right to left and all that, that is part of Pep's workout on the training ground. He's got everything down to pat. Make sure nobody steps out of line. They've got to deliver all of his tactics, all of his game plan. And if you're not, you come and sit next to him on the bench. Because he's so demanding in that respect.
Somebody. Most importantly, though, we need to mention that Pep's team in 2019 and Pep's team now is a much younger, vibrant team.
Yes.
That is basically straight up. They are aware of what he wants. As you said, his coaching philosophy is out of this world. It's all about the knowledge. And he have younger players. At that time, you had guys like Thiago Silva, who are in their late 30s.
Correct.
Who are ready to retire. Now, we basically have... players that is young, vibrant, they are building into his chemistry, into his mechanics work. And let me tell you, they were fourth in the table. Now they are first.
Yep.
Wow. Yes. Yep. I mean, it's really, it's an eye-opening thing. Hey.
I mean, what I love about this side as well, you've got players like Ruben Diaz. What a defender he is. You've got Kyle Walker now, comes off the bench, or he puts him into games when the opposition have got a good left winger against them.
Mm.
So he's picking and choosing his teams depending on what the opposition have got to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a great side. Some of the players that you're in, that are in there, my God, they've done a great job coming through. Van Aalen speaks for himself. Look at all the goals that he scored. But my God, De Bruyne, midfield. Jack Grealish, midfield. Edison in goal. Even John Stones has come on since his transfer from Everton to Manchester City. He's now a good defender as well as a good player.
Mm. Yeah.
This is a very well organised, ruthless football team that Pep Guardiola's put together.
Someone sent a message here as well. They said, Arsenal fans are still believing they can... Wait. Arsenal fans are still believing they can win. Let's see if they can win all the rest of their games. Listen, this person who message here, you see the negativity be gone, okay?
Yeah.
We don't want that. Arsenal is going to win, despite what Adrian and Andre says. Terry, I'm on your side, okay? Hey, guys, don't forget you can get in touch with us, get in contact. Let's talk football on 306-1065. And, of course, my lines to call 627-322-3625-2257. Let's see who's there. Hi, good evening. You're live.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. City fan.
How you doing?
City fan in the house. Talk to us.
I want to know how Arsenal winning all them us again.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
PS5.
Yeah, be in reality, because look at the track record that you talking about.
Hello. My team is going to win.
Last week before that, three draws, right?
Mm. Yes.
And then last week, that's Sherlock and all again. Still bamboozling, you know?
Hello.
Still bamboozling after last week. And I believe Chelsea will get a good run for them all tomorrow.
Madness.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because that Chelsea team are not to lose right now. They are not losing streak. And I think they could draw against somebody.
Like what?
Or maybe win.
You know what? After tomorrow's game...
And on top of that, you have Newcastle coming towards the end there on Sunday.
That'll be a nice game.
I think that's a great show.
That would be a great game.
People are underestimating how well Newcastle are doing.
Newcastle come from nothing and win that game within 5 minutes, 9 minutes ago.
But you realise they're the richest football club in the world today, Newcastle United.
Mm.
Yeah, they're a good team.
With their new Saudi ownership, yeah.
City, they started to take West Ham and see. Leeds, and I think that is it.
Mm. I agree. I think too strong, too good for these teams.
They gave I think it's Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
A good run for them, what do you do?
But recognise within the next week, they've got Real Madrid. And I'm sure that's where Pep Guardiola's focus will be.
Yep.
That's
he tried to manage the players now. You see, De Bruyne are playing.
Yeah.
Trying to manage him. Ake coming off an injury now.
Correct.
He tried to manage these players. I think that is the main thing that we can point on.
And as soon as the game's out of sight, he's bringing his top players off.
Yeah, well, he had to try and manage.
Giving them a rest up.
A potential 10 games they had to play, you know?
Yeah.
And Arsenal only had, four or five?
That's right, yeah.
They have a lot of rest in between, so then some of the really four months.
Excuse me, I'm sitting right here.
Come on, Kerry. We need to get the name of this album.
You know, that's all it had to be. I mean, the team with the best, what should I say, man machinery is one that coming through at the end here now. Because you see that total football team here, you know.
Yeah.
Yesterday when City play with this team in Fulham, and that boy Alvarez, he started in this De Bruyne.
Yes. Scored a great goal.
The first goal was a penalty, right? But that second goal, I thought he wore De Bruyne's shoes, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, that man
De Bruyne's shoes on his boots on.
That goalkeeper didn't see it coming. He smelled when he passed him.
But isn't that typical Pep Guardiola? He's got a brilliant side, some great experienced players in there, but he's also got a nice a nice blend of kids coming through off the bench that are performing like this. Yeah.
He played 8 matches and scored 7 goals.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
And he can't get into the team.
You can't play in front of Van Arlen, that's for sure. Right. So
I mean, the EPL coming to the end of the season, you know, and I guess it all comes down to who play best win in the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Arsenal have their own destiny on their hands, and they have to win all their games. But I like where City is. They're just sitting back and waiting and watching.
Yeah.
If there's any negative outcome in tomorrow match,
mm-hmm.
for Arsenal, well, I think you can't have only pitch on the City.
Correct.
By weekend,
yeah.
it will be decided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can drop any points.
That
match against Newcastle,
yes.
that will be the difference there.
Mm.
How good is it?
All right, buddy. Yeah. Thanks so much.
I want to hear my friend from Arsenal. I didn't hear him for the last week. Like he MIA.
I didn't see him call yet to know, but wait a turn.
You tell that fan used to be calling at these two of them, I ain't hearing them again.
Don't worry, the gazing up, waiting.
So, Adrian, can you just give us, let's have a little run through of the top four. What's the potential outcome at the end of the season for the Champions League positions, top four?
Terry, I think that a lot of people is still in that stage where we think Arsenal is still first.
Yeah.
Where really and truly mathematically they could end up fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because when you look at their lineup of the next three games, it's basically Chelsea, Newcastle, and Brighton.
Yes.
And really. As the caller rightfully said, Newcastle is one that is coming from behind.
Absolutely.
They have been in form. They have a better form than Arsenal in the last five
Correct.
Games.
Correct.
And something we also have to look at as well is that with Newcastle and their owners, mm-hmm. they may have some match bonuses available for them,
yeah.
because they are the richest club. Motivation. And they will like to finish second in the table.
Correct.
Of course.
Right, that puts them in a place where they will be seeded properly. Newcastle's next game basically is very basic to them, because in their mind they know that they have gone through a lot early on in the season.
Mm.
With Arsenal now, the pressure is on them, because in that head-to-head clash, Newcastle have only beaten Arsenal 11 times, right?
Right.
Arsenal have beaten Newcastle 33 times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on paper and in the bank account, Newcastle is the team right now,
yep.
with the bravest coach.
Adrian, people are not seeing that. They're not right. understanding what's going on in the background at Newcastle United.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a huge step forward. This is the richest football club in the world today.
Mm. Yeah, and something that we can't forget is Liverpool.
Yep.
Mm. Although they are fifth in the table,
yeah.
let's be realistic. I have a lot of faith in Klopp and his squad and what he expects from them. But the reality of it is that we need to also understand, Andre,
mm-hmm.
that Liverpool has the easier fixtures ahead. They have Brentford.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes it may be.
That's not going to be easy though, because they're up there in the top eight.
But we know that at the end of the day, Klopp is one of these managers where he always switches on his players for big games.
Yes.
And I know Liverpool to be the team that will be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I expect Chelsea to upset Arsenal tomorrow.
Yes.
The reason being is that Frank Lampard haven't really done anything since returning to
Stamford Bridge. Miles away.
All he have left with is lost L's.
Yeah.
He haven't left with a W. So it will be very interesting, Terry, to see Arsenal versus Chelsea. And that will even seal Pep's comfort.
Yeah.
Where who he plays in that Real Madrid game, will he play his strong team in the first leg?
Mm.
Because you know he's like that.
Yeah.
And will he hold off to go 5 points clear in the Premiership on the weekend? That's what we expect.
Adrian, against Real Madrid, I don't think he's taken any gambles. He's gone for the throat. Manchester City, that's the one competition that they've fallen short.
Yeah.
Champions League, that's top of the list of Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Understand, but do we remember 3 weeks ago he played John Stokes in the midfield?
Yeah.
Correct. Stones,
right?
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it where he may play him in the midfield against Real?
Spring a surprise.
Yeah.
Just for tackles, headers, and then okay, next week he plays his playmakers in that area. He has done it before.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what we have to remember is that he has a more mature group,
mm-hmm.
where they are really and truly in tune with his philosophy.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And for me, I think Arsenal can be struggling to stay up in the top four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So come on then, how do you feel will be the top four at the end of the season?
Me, I will go with Man City first.
Man City.
Newcastle second.
Right.
I will still work with Arsenal too.
Thank you. You know, you had to put that in there.
Arsenal third and fourth position.
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
You think Liverpool in front of Manchester United?
Yes, Terry.
Mm.
I don't think so, man. Mm. I think that my top four would be Manchester City, Newcastle and Manchester United. I think Manchester United will hang on to that fourth position.
What do you think, Andre?
Definitely Man City, of course. Second, Newcastle. Third and fourth is where I think Arsenal will somehow hang in there.
They would.
My analytical brain going crazy now. I'm going through all these scenarios.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Liverpool has that fire about them. They get results. Every time you think they're going to go down, they look at, for example, the Tottenham game.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thought, okay, that was a done and dusted thing. And I think why I say that, Manchester United losing Varane and Martinez at the back looked like a very different team. If they had those two guys in there still, I would have probably said Manchester United fourth.
So you're going with Liverpool?
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Guys, it's just about 6:45 and that is my time check. Let me tell you, relive the top highlights from your favorite football matches on the Premier League Review Show every Wednesday from 9:30 p.m. on CNC3, the licensed broadcaster for the games. Tune in and enjoy a recap of the latest Premiership action with game highlights and features just for you. Exclusively on the Premier League Review Show every Wednesday from 9:30 p.m. on CNC3. I have some messages coming in here. Arsenal forget to fight. Another one. Okay. Arteta needs to focus on the game and not detractors. Newcastle is in third position. And let me play this voice note. Give me 2 seconds. Let me pause on this. Let me get on that. And let me press play right here.
It's very interesting, Adrian, in terms of when you look at it, because I hear you with Chelsea don't have anything to lose, but I want to guarantee you that will be their ninth. When they lost tomorrow, will be their ninth on the trot. I don't really see them winning that game tomorrow.
What?
And I think Arteta have to look at focusing on the game and not the detractors. And it is not in terms of Arsenal choking. You know, when you was in terms of the football, when you are leading, there is always this jinx to bite you. And I think this is the time where they have lost a couple of games, but I suspect that they have to bounce back, and we may just see that bouncing back tomorrow against
Chelsea.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think the Premier League allows you to bounce back.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Listen, guys, you've got Arsenal are 10 points clear of Newcastle in third
we
position.
We saw that, Terry.
Mm. Yeah.
10 points is a
that.
Lot at this stage.
Our
this
match
is the business end.
Alive still.
Yeah.
Mm.
But we still
that's
believe
too much.
We can change them.
Yeah.
I realise that was just a slight
haterade
going on with you.
I remember.
I'm feeling jealous my
we
team.
I'm saying Arsenal, 8 points.
Yeah.
8 points.
8 points clear of Manchester City.
Manchester City. Mm. 2 weeks ago, we were singing that song.
Yeah.
That was all in our notes. Now, we are singing Manchester City, 2 clear points of Arsenal.
Mm.
And Terry now is saying 10 points clear of Newcastle.
Wow.
I don't see this as an impossible move at all.
Yep.
If Arsenal loses against Chelsea tomorrow, Terry, that's 3 points gone. And then their next game is Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 points.
Mm.
Then it will come down to someone to get those 4 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the reality.
Someone messaged and said, I'm going to go with Terry's pick. Liverpool has less games and too many points to make up. I hope we hear from the Arsenal fan. It's been 2 weeks since we heard from him.
I remember the Arsenal fan read out Manchester City's fixtures.
Yep, yeah.
But he didn't read out Arsenal fixtures, and we read it out.
Yes.
And we have seen how this whole table has transformed.
Thanks for reminding us, okay? Thank you very much. Guys, it's just about almost 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. I know when we come back, After the break, we're going to be discussing local football and stuff like that. I know we have a lot to talk about with that. But guys, let me invite you. Don't forget, you can call us. Our numbers are 627-3223-625-2257. And my WhatsApp number is 306-1065. But I know you all call out your listings and you know who you all think is going to win.
Mm.
But what team do you think, like, close to the last pick on the team, do you think that, let's say, for instance, Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
because we have seen for the entire weeks that, you know, Chelsea wasn't really holding up himself.
Yeah.
You think Chelsea have a chance to getting back up there, to getting back more points?
No.
They're too far down.
Yeah.
Sitting in 12th position at the moment with 39 points.
Yeah.
They're miles away from that.
I think Chelsea is just the heartbreakers right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They are the team that it's Chelsea. Mm-hmm. You come to Stamford Bridge, mm-hmm. we will show you we are class.
Yeah.
Mm. Players now in Chelsea, as they have done before, will be playing for contracts because there's a new coach that will be coming in.
Correct.
Mm. They have to basically look after themselves.
Right.
You see it happening in a lot of leagues and especially in these final games, it's important for them to seal themselves,
yes,
seal their family. That's what it's about. So Chelsea will pick up a few points, but I'm not I don't think they'll finish any top 10.
No.
I don't see it happening.
It's very unlikely.
Unlikely that it will happen. Yep. But we say that they need to change the whole management team then, the coaches and
absolutely
and the managers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a complete mess behind the scenes at Chelsea. You know, ever since and then there was Potter, now Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just complete mayhem, as Terry, you know, everybody said before, they got rid of all the people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They have the squad. I like a lot of their players.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some tremendous players.
Yeah, I love
lots
that
of youth players out at other clubs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that, you know, some of the players there, and it just isn't working. So
yeah.
They are going to have to lick their wounds over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because no Champions League football. You know, the possibility that I think there's a rumor, Pochettino might be the coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, players probably, you know, sitting down thinking, okay, what do I do? As Adrian was saying,
mm-hmm.
okay, they are planning ahead. Let's try to protect ourselves and see who stays. And because they're going to have to cut some players, I guess, if they don't get into the Champions League.
But Terry, I remember you mentioning to me, you know, over the past few episodes of our shows that, you know, the fans are the ones who say, hey, this man had to go, you know, this man had to stay and that kind of thing. How come you're not hearing that with regards to Chelsea?
No, they are. Behind the scenes, there's all sorts of problems going on for Frank Lampard.
Mm.
They've recognised that he wasn't the right man to step into the caretaker's manager's position.
Mm.
The results have shown that he's not won a game. He's got beat in all three games he's played so far.
Mm.
This is a huge game against Arsenal at the Emirates tomorrow night for Frank Lampard. He's got to get a result out of the game. He's bang under pressure. And this comes back, Kerry. You've got the ownership of Chelsea, I think, have been very naive in their selection of Frank, bringing him back as even just as a caretaker.
Mm.
Manchester United board, the Glazers, the fans are up in arms at the moment, even as Manchester United are doing a good job, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Ten Hag's done a great job in there. But the fans are going after the Glazers. They want them out.
Yeah.
They're trying to get the owners out of the club.
Mm.
And when that does happen, if it happens, that is the whole football club up in the air. What do the news people want? Do they want a new manager? Do they take Ten Hag out of there?
Mm.
It could absolutely mash up the whole Manchester United. Yeah.
Somebody messaged and said Chelsea needs to change their ownership, not the coaches, and Todd Bowman is a madman.
Yes.
No, but Terry, I think that we said it in our some episodes before.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Lampard wasn't the man to replace Potter.
Yeah.
We already, Chelsea Football Club has had a horrific season thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You replaced them with
four managers.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. You have replaced them with a manager that was basically struggling at Everton.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's yet to win since returning to Stamford Bridge.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what I know you asked Terry Carey about the fans, but now they are in a embarrassing state where they cannot fire Frank Lampard now,
no.
before the season ends, because he's basically the caretaker manager until the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
So he will have a contract. They already have to pay off Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Frank Lampard in a caretaker management role where he's expected to rally your team until the end of the season. Remember, Frank Lampard took this team when they were in a Champions League quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Now, what's left is basically fighting between 12th place to 10th.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's a very embarrassing moment. So the message that you just received there is true. The owners need to really and truly look to...
But is it that the owners have no idea about football?
Well, to be honest...
Is that a case?
We must give Roman Abramovich credit where credit is due. Because Chelsea was a struggling club and Roman came and he brought in Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
He actually started with Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah.
And that time they signed Kesman and all these players. Then Jose came in after and he brought in Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard and all these players. And they won titles. And now the club is in a stage where they are expecting to be successful. Years ago, Chelsea was a team that was really and truly hitting 7th, 8th, 9th. But when Roman Abramovich took over, it was a different ball game.
Correct.
Right. So now, it's something new for the fans and they want out. They basically want out.
I think Adrian, I think Kerry's brought a good point up there, because you look at all of these football clubs and look at the national football league in Trinidad and Tobago. It comes down to the people at the top that are running the show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're a Manchester United, Man City, Chelsea, whoever you are, if you as a new owner of the football club are naive to football and you do not know the game, your football club could be tumbling down the league, which is what we're seeing at Chelsea right now. We're seeing that in local football here in Trinidad and Tobago. People at the top, where is your knowledge and experience of the game? They haven't got it because they've never been involved in it.
Yeah.
And we're expecting them to turn football around.
Yeah.
It's just not happening.
I have this voice note. Let me play it quickly.
Good evening again, guys. I just want to know your take on terms of Angus Eve saying that the Premier League is too slow for Trinidad and Tobago football players in terms of getting back in any form for the Gold Cup. I think, I mean, while some of these players have some rust, I think the Premier League will serve them well in terms of getting in back in shape. And I slightly want to disagree with him, but I just want to hear your take on it.
I would look at this. The TT Premier League is what we've got. You cannot go any further than that. And as national team coach, he should be trying to assist and help these young kids to make a go of it for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, look up and down the region, all of the other islands started to play football before the TT Premier League. We were lacking and running behind there. We've had the normalisation committee in there for nearly 3 years, or over 3 years now. They should have done a better job than they have. We've got a number of clubs struggling and not getting the monies that they were promised. There is issues behind the scenes. But that's the only thing these kids have got. So for Angus Eve to come out and say that it's too slow of a league, it doesn't help the kids, that is only what they've got, Angus. They've got to work with what they've got.
Yep.
Yeah, but Terry, I think Angus is out of place.
Yeah.
He's out of place. This league is run by TTFE.
Yeah.
This is our national coach.
Yep.
All right, so let me just cut you all across a bit there, because I know we kind of going into the local football, and we have our segment for that. It's just about 2 minutes away from 7. I have someone send a message here. Chelsea should put Kante to coach the team. But Spurs fired their caretaker coach.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Who is Lampard?
Yeah. I always felt when Conte left Tottenham Hotspur, I thought there was a behind-the-scenes plan that had gone on where he would go back to Chelsea at the end of the season. That was why I thought they quickly picked Frank Lampard to step in, do a job for a month, 6 weeks.
And then pull.
And then bring Antonio Conte back into the frame. He's already won Champions League, Premiership with Chelsea Football Club. what a great manager he is. And I thought that was a game plan.
Mm.
But I'm not so sure now.
Mm.
The other people that are names that are coming out of the...
Yeah, I understand that message, but at the end of the day, Mason wasn't a legend in Tottenham.
Nah.
Lampard was a legend.
Yeah. Oh,
so it will be disrespectful to remove Lampard now.
Yeah. Mm.
What has happened, though, is that the board didn't expect Lampard
to fail.
To really and truly fail
at
this stage.
Yes.
Mason failed.
Mm.
And they knew that he's an academy coach. Mm. We can do him again and again and again. And if we give him that job again to be caretaker manager, he will take it up.
Yep. Yeah.
Because this is his second stint.
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's very hard for them to remove Lampard. So I am telling you, Chelsea owner is now praying that these quickly.
Yeah.
And quick and painless.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Hey guys, it's just about 7 o'clock. That's the top of my hour. We are gonna take a really, really quick break. When we come back, we're gonna continue the discussions around football and we are gonna touch on local football next. So keep it locked. It's Kyrie Ree alongside Tyree Fenwick, Adrian Romain, and Andre Sukla, because this is Offside. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Good evening again, guys. I just want to know your take on terms of Angus Eve saying that the Premier League is too slow for Trinidad and Tobago football players in terms of getting back in any form for the Gold Cup. I think, I mean, while some of these players have some rust, I think the Premier League will serve them well in terms of getting in back in shape. And I slightly want to disagree with him. But I just want to hear you all take on it in terms of you all being the experts.
Good evening and welcome back. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. This is where you speak your mind and you are on Offside, which we do every Monday from 6 to 7.30 p.m. It's Kyrie Ree alongside Tyree Fenwick, Adrian Sukla, Adrian Romain, and Andre Sukla. You know, I was having this problem.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The twins.
Yeah. So, guys. Yeah,
just to touch on that voice.
That
note,
voice.
I don't think it's a joking matter with that.
That
honestly,
voice
I think it's disrespectful
mm.
by the national team head coach to basically lash out on a TTFA run league. This is what we have available.
Yeah.
He is so blessed to have a league. Mm. As a national team head coach. Right? During COVID, there were no leagues allowed.
Mm. Correct.
He has gotten a league and he has come out and smashed that league where kids was deprived of an opportunity to even get a living in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I am just seeing it as his excuse telling those kids that they will not be on the Gold Cup squad. So, listen, the league is not good enough. So you will not be on the Gold Cup squad. And then he goes to overseas players who is basically playing lesser football than what is happening right now in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's out of place. What is the solution he has put in place for the league to be better?
Correct. Mm.
So what I would add to that, Adrian, you look where we are. Angus is a B license coach, which in world football that is not good enough to be a national team coach. Background is life sport, schools football, club Sandor that done very little, might have won a cup competition here. He's never been, I don't think, in the top three of the old Pro League or the now TT Premier League. He's turning into a career politician. This is the next Brent Sancho that went from football into politics, Minister of Sport.
Mm.
And failed across the board because they're not sticking up for communities, for kids that are out there with expectations and dreams of becoming a footballer, men and women. And they're letting our own people down.
Yeah.
What else have we got? You've just said it, Adrian. If they haven't got, these kids are looking at the TT Premier League, it's the only thing available for them, that their first stepping stone to getting outside of Trinidad and Tobago into something better. We've had in the last month criticism of the fans in Tobago, interfered with the game, didn't get through, rubbish. That is a load of BS.
Mm.
And since then, he's now coming out with the league's not quick enough, this new league is too slow. Rubbish. You should be out there helping coaches to perfect and get it better than it is, instead of criticise what you've done in the past. Mm. And in actual fact, Adrian, you'll bear me out on this, we took a lot of criticism about our regional games against other teams, which he was behind one of them. And now he's doing exact same things with them players to get them out to play against regional sides.
Mm-hmm.
What a... That is disgusting.
Yeah, I think it shows that there is no care and attention for what is being, what is happening locally on a Wednesday night and on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
It shows disrespect to coaches as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because these coaches, this is their trade.
Yeah.
So let's say if the government hears the coaches, so the government heard his cry before. Let me rewind. He said, we need local football back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Local football is granted now. And one and a half months into this local football fixtures, now you come out as the national team head coach and say, the football is too slow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What is your solution, Mr. Angus?
Mm.
I do not know what's your solution. Have you put in place a training criteria? Have you put in place a fitness criteria? Have you said, okay, let me have a national training session every Tuesday? Mm. What have you done?
But Adrian, this goes back to a point that Kerry made earlier on. What are the guys at the top? What is Robert Haddad doing? What is the people that are supporting him in administrative positions? What are they doing to correct football in Trinidad and Tobago?
Mm.
Nothing. Why? Because they just don't know. They don't know football. They're pitched in there. They've been given these positions. Normalisation Committee is meant to get things back to normal.
Yeah.
They've been in there 3 years, and we're already hearing that monies haven't been paid, clubs haven't received monies, players are unhappy because they haven't been paid at the end of the month. It's turning into the same rubbish that we've all seen all over before.
Mm.
What's happening at the top?
Yeah.
Who's managing Angus Eve?
Yeah. But for the persons who are not aware of who is Angus Eve, can you just shed some light on who he is and, you know, what's his role and function?
Hmm? Who's going to take that one?
Angus is the Trinidad and Tobago national head coach of the men's senior team.
Mm.
His background, actually, I think 6-7 years he spent as an assistant to me at Jablater.
Mm.
And then he spun off with Mike McCormie, his big pal, to Mapow, remember? Coming into the old Pro League.
Mm.
And then from there, again, he got involved in life sport.
Right.
He got involved in school football, which was a spin-off to Sandor, Club Sandor.
Yeah.
But he's really had a struggle up at them levels. Okay. Club Sandor were never anywhere close to winning the league. Mm. He then went on to be, he's trying to be the chairman of the League Managers Association.
Mm.
But then when you're in that position, you're meant to help people to get jobs and not go out for jobs yourself. And that's what he did. He went after jobs himself. Career politician.
Yeah. Someone sent another voice note here. Let me just play it for you.
And the excuse, gentlemen, is that the game is played too slow and it is not up to international standard. And I have to agree with Adrian. What have you bring to the table to bring it up to standard? What have you suggested? I mean, just coming and saying that the game is slow and not putting forward suggestions to get it up to
great
speed.
Great point.
It's really farcical and comical. That's best as I could describe it.
Mm. Yeah, and Carrie, and he keeps touching it. Mm. No Caribbean country, Terry,
no.
A national team head coach is allowed to come out and disrespect what is happening in his country,
in his homeland,
at his under his federation.
Yes,
that happens nowhere in the world. Mm. That is a serious thing. That happens nowhere in the world. And now my question is, was his contract renewed as head coach? Because I haven't seen any press release.
Mm.
But he's coming out, and they have sent an unbeaten record, and they have sent all these news.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they
yeah.
are yet to send what is his contract details. Yeah. The people. Who's actually part of the football fraternity?
Adrian, I touched on it earlier. As a B licensed coach, That is not acceptable across the world of football at FIFA level to run a national team.
Because someone messaged you and said, didn't his contract end a while now?
His contract ended March 31st. So the point coming back,
Adrian, is Robert Haddad at the top with his normalisation committee that know very little about football. I wouldn't go to ask them anything about ice cream. That's their expertise. But I've been in football for 40-odd years at a top level. So I know what's going on. I speak to people at the English FA that are in high places at FIFA because they know me. We communicate together. We're trying to help each other. We, and this is you, Adrian, as well, you've got your own little academy, same as Football Factory. We're trying to help parents with their kids' development of football to bring things through. And then we have statements put out by the national team coach that are derogatory to the country and football.
Yeah, and it's out of hand.
Yep. One thing I mean, just from studying, I mean, I did a project like this back in when I was doing my degree in terms of development. Obviously, the comparison between a superpower like Argentina and Germany versus Trinidad will be different. But there are fundamentals that are the same. Usually, the youth development system usually is streamlined. And that's why I have all these technical directors and all these guys who sit down and they make sure that everybody's in unison and working together. And they work out all these things like what Adrian mentioned, a style of play, type of fitness, how they want the players to be from this level all the way up to senior level. And essentially, they all work together. And if they have issues, they sort it out and identify in a different way. Listen, okay, we are deficient in this area. This is what we need to do to fix it. Which is what Adrian is basically saying, what Adrian is saying. Solutions. Rather than, you know, okay, the problem, which we all stated, you all faced this when you all were coaching on the national team. There was no football. And one of the issues I had, because, you know, my job is to analyze and look at all sides, where I always thought it was insane that they were criticized because we were on lockdown. The players were hardly playing. Their fitness levels would obviously be in a, at a questionable level. And as a national coach, that must have been a nightmare for you because, you know, you have to sit down and try to put together a squad.
But
Andrea, we sat down, and this was going back to 2020, through COVID. We trained 3 days a week. We'd asked for a science lab where we could fit all these players up, take all their measurements, see what they're doing, track them and everything they do, their ball skills, their fitness level, their everything. And we just got a knockback from the from Robert Haddad and the normalisation committee. And also, it wasn't until he brought his own fitness guy in, this is Robert Haddad, somebody that was training him on the sidelines, he brought his own person in that had very little knowledge about football. So it's the same contradiction we're talking here. Get the right people in at the top so they deliver for the country. And that's not happening because the people at the top are miles away from what we need.
I think we need to get in contact with Angus, Angus Eve. I mean, I don't know the kind of strings that you may have, because I mean, I really want to hear from him and I want to hear from his side as to, you know, why you'd make a statement like that, given who you are at where you are in local football. You know, but guys, I invite you to call me 627-3223-625-2257, or you can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. What do you think about that statement? So when did he make that statement? When was it?
Carrie, I don't think they will come on the show.
Why?
Because
they don't have enough testicular fortitude.
No, we don't.
Because we're talking the truth.
We are talking the truth. And the reality is that we are not going to basically sketch what they want to, what they are not going to, we are not going to allow them to sketch and their questions.
Adrian, also, if we were to ask them on this show, have the clubs received their money, stipend, to pay the players, they will try and give us all sorts of different excuses why not, but that hasn't happened. Several of the clubs at the moment are really struggling, and this has literally just got off the floor.
Guys, continue sending me those messages. Someone said he made the statement about 4 days ago. Also, Carrie, Terry, Adrian, and Andre, the CONCACAF Council, is it true that they discussed and agreed in principle to launch a new CONCACAF Women's Club competition in 2024. I am not sure about that.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That qualification round actually starts in October. It's very interesting where they are allowing 33 teams that will qualify for the next first CONCACAF Gold Cup, Women's Gold Cup. So it's really interesting. Trinidad is one of the top seeds. They are in top seed, and then there's other nations that will be involved. It's to be honest, CONCACAF is doing good.
Adrian, is the women's football more organized than the men's?
In Trinidad and Tobago? Yeah. No, Terry.
No.
It's actually worse.
What?
It's actually worse.
Wow.
It's actually worse. The women's football.
The senior team or any
women's
in particular?
Football on the whole.
Okay.
The biggest spotlight, honestly, is SSFL. So when those girls is finished in November, there's nothing happening. Right? There's nothing happening at all.
Wow.
So we can go. At the moment, there's only Republic Cup that is playing under 20.
Right.
So our seniors haven't seen the field since last year, possibly September.
Yeah, I think it was September
last year.
Wow.
So that was their last
game
playing.
Actually, before that.
And now, we are looking forward to maybe the new vibe of this regime is to bring you in 3 months. And give you these short-term contracts. So getting ready for this Gold Cup, Women's Gold Cup, next coach will be someone, and he gets a 3 months contract. And if he qualifies, then he goes to another 3 months.
So Kenwyn Jones is not still running the women's side.
No, Kenwyn Jones. It is alleged he's out.
Wow.
At the moment.
Wow.
Yeah. So
why is that? Why is that, because of results or?
Well, I
fell out with the management at the top.
Well, I can't answer on their behalf, but what I can say is that what the norm is, once the tournament is over, sure. I know there's no communication between you and the federation, and I can tell you that is a norm.
Yeah.
That has been a norm unless you are a foreigner and you have to return home.
Yeah.
And you need that return ticket, then the federation will contact you. But as it stands, a lot of these local coaches have told me the same thing that has happened before.
Oh.
And it seems to be a trend that is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no meetings, there's no closure, right?
Until the
next tournament. Yeah. And the players basically is just up in wondering what's happening. Let's look at the under-20 team and some that we didn't touch on.
Mm-hmm.
The under-20 team failed miserably the other day.
Yes.
We failed miserably. And not to disrespect the young lady, Marcel, but she has no coaching experience at this level. And they have just placed her there because maybe some friend of a friend. But the reality is it is hurting our football.
And is that the same with the senior men's team?
And
not qualified.
It's a continuous thing that has been happening.
But what is happening? All right. So now, today, what is going on with the national teams? What are they doing now? Where are they?
That's a good question.
That's a good question, Carrie.
pretty much out of everything.
Yeah.
So they're just going about the normal lives, you know, not playing any football. They're probably playing a little small side.
So at the moment, that's why I had to come out and speak about it. I think that statement by the coach was disrespectful.
Mm.
Because if that league wasn't playing now, then the coach was required to not get free money at the moment, but to basically have training sessions.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is the substitute for national training.
Yeah.
And he comes out and said that the games are too slow and it's not ready for international level.
Mm.
But if we watch at in that league, we have Abubakar.
Mm-hmm.
He has played on the national team in the last, let's say, if I'm calling the guys who are fitted in the last 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has been part of the squad in the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Dwayne Mockett, same.
Yeah.
All these guys have been part of the squad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how all of a sudden you come now and saying that, wow, how is that the league is too slow? You are not ready for international level. Mm-hmm. That is craziness.
Yeah. But let me just ask you all, is it that they're supposed to be either training or playing football right through the year, or is it just like a seasonal thing?
Kerry, I've had a number of players that have reached out to me, and of course I'll keep their name in confidence because they wouldn't want it to get back. But they're just so disappointed with how the national setup are treating them, here in Trinidad and Tobago, lack of communication, lack of training, lack of fitness and exercise, lack of everything across the board, and they're forced to keep their mouths shut.
Mm.
Because if they open up, they'll not be in the next squad. It's just, that's Trinidad and Tobago football, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Terry, that's a new thing in Trinidad and Tobago. A lot of people is listening to the show.
Yeah.
And wants to call in and call you on your personal phone for you just to hush.
Yeah.
I think it's a new trend.
Yeah.
Where people think that they could hush you up when you know the truth.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I must say to all our listeners today, we are not the people to hush our mouth. Once we have the facts in place, we will share it, and it's the and that's all we can do, share facts.
And this show is about the beauty of the game of football, the beautiful game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about communities, kids in them communities, parents, because there are some fantastic people that have the right heart behind their community sides and all that. But unfortunately, the higher up the tree you get, the more corrupt it becomes, and that's where the difficulties lie.
Yeah, and Terry, I must, and that's what, that's where my passion comes in. I want people to walk to Eddie at Savannah and sacrifice their peers to help these kids, right? And to sacrifice your time and educate yourself in the field. Mm. When you do that, then check me.
Right.
But for now, just relax. And just drink
and taking offside.
Yeah, please.
Taking offside. But somebody sent me a message here. They want to find out what about Atawala
Gera.
What's his name?
Atula Gera.
Atula Gera. Who is that?
He's a great player. You know, he's been on the national team for a long time. Most, you know, side note, most notably known for bowing to Messi. You know, that's the thing. But, you know, he's a great player. I like him a lot. Terry coached him at Central FC.
I actually took him in at as a kid at San Juan Javelin. Took him off the block.
Great guy. I like him.
And involved him at Javelin when we had such a good young team then. He was a little bit raw in the beginning. Didn't want to listen to tactics. Didn't recognise that every team has a game plan. Every player within that team has got to perform for the team. And he come on and he done some great things. He's played out in the United States and the USL as well as, as here in Trinidad. Really. And he's getting on a little bit now. He's back in Trinidad.
He's at La Hockey Rangers.
La Hockey Rangers.
Yeah, Terry, and I must, Atula Gera is the man right now. He's the leading goal scorer. And as Terry mentioned, he was the leading goal scorer in the USL Championship at Charleston Battery before he returned to Trinidad.
Correct.
So how can my head coach tell us that our league is not up to international standard when we have these type of players that is doing tremendous?
It's maybe that he's not up to international standard.
Possibly.
Wow, that's so unfortunate. Just 2 minutes away from 7:30, 2 minutes away from the end of today's episode of Offside. It's Kari V alongside Terry Fenwick, Adrian Romain, and Andre Suklal. Guys, see, I have another voice note to play here. I find out how to play voice notes, how to do all kind of technical stuff. Yes, I'm getting it. Let's see who is there. Okay, let me try that again.
He probably not looking at the games, guys. I feel he's not looking at the games. Because Atula Gera is leading the season with the most goals, so I assume he's not looking at the games.
Nobody man also said in the article that he has been watching games. He has been going to games and he's watching it on FIFA Plus.
Yes, on digital media.
Digital media. So for me, I don't know what he's watching. If anybody watched that game yesterday, AC Port of Spain versus La Hockey Rangers, you would have said, we are happy as a national pool of players because it was end-to-end action.
Yes, it was.
And I must say, even the crowd support. We had a full Larry Gomes covered stand section.
Very good.
I can tell you all that it is disrespect because we have been talking about bring the crowds back. These same crowds has been discriminating local football. Now they are coming back and the national team coach surprises you at an interview and says that our football is too slow for international level. Give me a break.
Correct.
What do you whistle? What do you whistle? Squeak.
Hold the line.
Get the whistle, Adrian. What are you doing? One job, Adrian. You have one job. Right. About 7:30 here in Sweet to Sweet. Sweet Trinidad and Tobago when it comes to football and local football. That is, I really do hope that it gets better. All right, and I think that we can. We have the players, we have the coaches, we have the know-hows in the corner here, like my analyst friend here.
Yes,
you know, I believe that we can make our national teams, you know, in great shape, but we just need the proper leadership.
That's the problem. People is reaching the stage where they have given up.
Yeah,
and all the good ones is basically either going abroad.
Yeah.
And being appreciated for what they are good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's happening. It becomes mind your business, right?
Yeah.
Drink water and mind your business scenario in this football world. And that's the reality.
And we've got all the same people behind the scenes picking up their salaries month to month, year to year, and they're not producing anything at national levels.
Somebody said, bring your own whistle next week, Carrie. Yes. I'm going to do that, but I want a whistle like Adrian on yours, the official.
Right.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. That thing. I want one of that. Guys, I'm about to close off today's episode of Offside. Stay tuned next Monday, same time, same place, between 6 and 7:30, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. On behalf of my co-hosts.
Yes, yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
Andre Sukal, Adrian Romain, and of course, Terry Fennick. We want to say thank you for joining us and, you know, keep it locked. It's Freedom, and this is Where's the Whistle? Come the
Let's
man.
Let's go.
Terry, we need to
fix it. Right?
Hold
the line,
Terry. He's supposed to blow the whistle.
Hold the line. Hold the
right,
line.
I do it over. This is not yet. Have a good one, guys. See Full you on time. The flip side.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.